Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. We want to thank you so much for tuning in to our show today, the Blog Talk Radio live portion of our program. This is being videotaped, it's being live streamed, and it's on the audio portion of Blog Talk Radio. And so we want to thank all of you for tuning in on this Saturday afternoon at this special time at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so we want to thank all of you for tuning in this morning. Now, as promised, throughout the week, I've been telling all of our subscribers, our friends, and our listeners that we were going to be doing a special broadcast on what just recently happened at the United Nations, as, of course, 12 countries voted either in favor or abstained to allow the United Nations to pass Resolution 2334 to condemn Israel and to condemn their building projects there in Jerusalem. And so what I want to do on today's show today is I want to give you a prophetic perspective. Is there any type of prophetic implications concerning this recent, that I would have to say, folks, despicable, deplorable act that was done at the United Nations? And I believe that the United Nations was created to just condemn Israel more than any other country in the world today. The UN uses Israel as a punching bag, and as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, we will not take this anymore. And so for the very first time, there has been a serious rift in relations between the United States and its only true ally in the Middle East, and that would be the Democratic Jewish State of Israel. So people have been asking me, you know, what do you think about this? Is there any type of prophetic implication? You know, where is this going to go down the road? Can God take this curse at the UN and turn it in to a blessing? So we're going to be talking about all of this today. And the Lord has given me some passages that I believe is pertinent to what just recently happened there at the United Nations. Now, I will tell you this, folks. Do you think God is going to wink at all of this? Do you think he's just going to look the other way and say, well, boys will be boys? It's not going to happen, folks. I believe that what the United Nations and what the United States, New Zealand, Japan, we can go on and on and on and on, and what other nations did, they're going to have some serious divine repercussions down the road, folks. Make no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I don't want to get ahead of myself. So what I'm going to do is I am going to give you my prophetic perspective on this. But what I want to do right now is focus your attention. Now, I said earlier, if you have your Bible, open it up right now. If you have a pen and paper, you might want to take notes. Or when I upload the program later on, you might want to get a pen and paper, and you can look over the video of the archive. You can pause, stop, rewind, do whatever you need to do. But I think it's important that we take down notes, we look at the passages that we're going to be looking at, and then you guys can study this on your own. Because I believe that the U.S. and all these other nations that either voted in favor or abstained to allow this deplorable resolution 2334 to go forward, well, folks, I believe they may have put the nail in the coffin. I believe that. I believe the nail has been put into the coffin. But again, I'm also convinced that God can take a curse and he can turn that curse into a blessing. So what I want to do right now is I just want to look at Jude verse 11. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Jude verse number 11. And it says this: woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So we know that Jude, who is the half-brother of the Lord, he's writing to Christians whose ranks have been infiltrated. So, folks, not only were they dealing with these false teachers back in the day, in the first century A.D., we are dealing with these same false teachers today. These same false teachers who are nothing more than shadowy figures who have infiltrated the church. And so Jude attacks these shadowy figures, folks. These shadowy figures who are peddling a message that promotes spiritual laxity, a theological error, destructive pride, and schisms or divisiveness the church today. Jude is warning his readers to be careful of these shadowy figures that are in the church today, that are teaching doctrines that are opposite of doctrinal purity that's in the Word of God. So we need to be careful in this day and age, folks, of spiritual laxity, because it's permeate all over the church today among Christians. We need to be careful of theological error that is creeping into the doors of many of our churches today. Destructive pride, those who come in that have the attitude that they think they know more than you because God has zapped them with all of this knowledge and you're too stupid to understand. You got to be careful with people like that in the church today, and those who are schismatic and those who would promote divisiveness in the church today. Frankly, folks, I have no tolerance for such people in the church today, nor do I have a desire to fellowship with such people in the church today. But that's just August Rosado speaking, okay? I don't know how you feel about that. But, folks, in the face of pressure to dilute pure biblical doctrine, Jude, the half-brother of our Lord, encourages his readers to stand firm and to earnestly contend for the faith. That's what he said in Jude verse 3. He says, how I've told you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so it's the job of you and I today in the 21st century church that's being permeated by all of these false teachers, is that we need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, Jude 3 is parallel to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, where we are told that but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and with fear. In this day and age that we are living today, we are told to earnestly defend or contend for the faith, and we need to be ready always to give an answer. That every man that asketh the reason of the hope that's within you and I as true born-again believers with meekness and with fear. This is the job of every true born-again, blood-washed child in the Lord. Now, I'm convinced that Jude must have drawn heavily from Peter's second epistle, because Jude mimics quite a bit what Peter stated in 2 Peter chapter 2, when Peter went after these false teachers. And so Jude must have drawn heavily from Peter's second epistle, as folks, both writings seem to be very eerily identical. Peter and Jude pull no punches, and they go right after these false prophets. And, you know, you hear me say this all the time. You put on Christian TV, you listen to Christian radio, there are so many false teachers that are on there today that are teaching nothing more, folks, than a damnable heresy. And many people, Peter says, are following their pernicious ways, by whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And, folks, the truth today is not only being evil spoken of by those outside the church, but the way of truth is even spoken of, evil spoken of by those within the church as well. So when we look at Jude, verse number 11, he uses three unscrupulous characters as examples of wickedness and unrighteousness. He talks about Cain, he talks about Balaam, and he talks about Korah. Three devious, unscrupulous individuals who were nothing more than false teachers, murderers, rebellious individuals that wanted to cause nothing but division within the congregation of Israel. So Jude uses these three unscrupulous characters as examples of wickedness, as examples, ladies and gentlemen, of unrighteousness. We all know Cain, who was the brother of Abel. We know the story from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Cain is the first murderer, excuse me, in human history. He commits the first act of murder. He murders his righteous brother Abel. And Satan got right in there and influenced him in his mind and in his heart to go and kill your brother, because his offering was righteous before the Lord, and Cain's offering was of the flesh. Cain's offering was not of the heart. It was evil. And because of that, God refused Cain's offering, accepted his brother Abel's offering. And because of that, Satan got in there, and right on out in the field, Cain murders his brother Abel. And then we think of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22. We're going to be going there in a few minutes. In Numbers 22, he was hired by Balak, the king of Moab, or as they say in Hebrew, Moab, M-O-A-V, the king of Moab, to curse Israel, so that in return, Balak and the Moabites would destroy Israel and rid them from their land. So we see the story in Numbers 22. And who can forget Korah? Korah led a rebellion against Moses in Numbers chapter number 16. And we all know, folks, the end result of that rebellion. Korah and all, he influenced. I mean, Korah was schismatic, man. He was divisive. And he influenced all the other people of Israel to undermine the authority of Moses. God did not call Korah to lead the congregation of Israel. God called Moses. So again, Satan got right in there, man, wanted to gum up the works, gets a hold of Korah. Korah and the people go over there and say, Moses, who do you think you are? You know, God doesn't just speak to you, Moses. He's speaking to us as well. He's also called us to be leaders as well. You're not going to be getting all the glory here, Moses. And what happened? The earth opened right up, and the earth swallowed Korah, his family, and all of those that followed him. Cain, Balaam, Korah. Three devious individuals spoken of, not only in the Old Testament, but mentioned by the writers of the New Testament as well. So in Numbers, chapter number 22, Israel settles, as they're coming from the land of Egypt, Israel settles on the east side of the Jordan River. Now, this would be in the area of Moab or Moab. And, of course, Balak, king of Moab, has concerns since earlier Israel defeated the Amorites, defeated their king Sihon and the Amorites. So now Balak has some problems here. He has some serious concerns. He defeated our brethren up there in the north, and now here they are camped in the central area of the land in our backyard. They're licking up the land like cattle eating grass. What are we going to do about this? We need to get rid of these people. And so what does he do? He hires somebody, divination, somebody practicing black magic, witchcraft, if you will. So then what does Balak, the king of Moab, do? He calls for Balaam. Balaam, the son of Beor, to come and curse Israel so then Moab can defeat them, kill them, take their spoil, and drive whatever survivors out of their land. So Balak believes that Balaam can do exactly this. So he says, Balaam, listen, I'll give you anything that you want, man. I'll pay you all the money that you want. I'll do whatever you want. Listen, I need you that you need to come and you need to curse Israel. I want you to curse these Jews so that when your curse comes upon them, that we can defeat them. So Balak believes that whom Balaam blesses, well, they'll be blessed. And whom Balak curses, well, will be cursed. Now, folks, we all know the principle in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3. God made it very clear. I will bless those who bless thee, and I will curse those who curse thee. What God is saying is I'll bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. But, you know, folks, looking at the story in Numbers chapter 22, again, if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to go there with me, in Numbers chapter 22, we find the story here. And look with me, if you will, in Numbers 22 and in verse number 6. Numbers 22 and verse number 6. This is Balak, the king of Moab, talking to Balaam. He says this, come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me, this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. So he said, Balak is saying, Balaam, I know that you have that divination. You have that power to do so. You have the power to bless those, and they're going to be blessed. You have the power to curse those, and they're going to be cursed. So I need you, Balaam, to these people for me. And when you curse them, we're going to clean their clock. We're going to mop the floor with these Jews, and we're going to get rid of them. We're going to just drive them right off the face of the earth. Looking at Numbers 22 and verse number 7, it says this, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of possible the rewards of divination. In other words, Balaam says, listen, guys, if you want my services, you need to provide me a diviner's fee. You know, like all of these so-called psychics, which are nothing more than psychos in my book, all of these so-called psychics, you go in there, you got to pay them a fee so that they could look at your future. Hey, let me just say this, folks. The reason why you don't see faith healers clearing out the hospitals today is the same reason why you don't see psychics winning the lottery, okay? And I'm just saying that straight up. God confronts Balaam. He confronts Balaam, and Balaam tells the Lord what Balak, the king of Moab, has hired him to do. And so in verse number 11, it says this, "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." So Balaam explains to the Lord what Balak wants him to do. Then God responds to Balaam, and God warns Balaam not to curse Israel. And the reason why God said, "I don't want you cursing Israel," is because of what we find in Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 20. Numbers 23 and in verse number where it says this, "Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it." He said, "Balak, you want me to curse, but every time I open my mouth, I end up blessing Israel." And so this is absolutely driving Balaam crazy. Balak, I should say, crazy. In verse 12, it says this, Numbers 22:12. "And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, Israel. For they," oh man, that is powerful. God said to Balaam, "You are not to curse the people. You are not to curse the Jews. You are not to curse Israel because they are blessed." And in Numbers 23:20, Balaam is telling Balak, "Every time I go to open my mouth to curse, nothing but blessings upon the Jews are coming out of my mouth." In Numbers chapter 23, verses 8 and 9, Balak pressures Balaam to curse and defy Israel so that he could destroy them. But folks, God has other plans. In Numbers 23, verses 8 and 9 says this, "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied?" Balaam is telling Balak, "You're asking me to do the impossible. You're asking me to curse someone that God said they're blessed. You're asking me to defy someone that God said he hasn't defied." Verse 9, he says, "From the top of the rocks I see him. From the hills I behold him. Lo, or behold, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations." Wow. I mean, folks, that is a prophecy from Balaam concerning Israel's status, ladies and gentlemen, in the world today. Balaam, excuse me, had an interesting prophecy that is so true today concerning Israel and their relationship to the nations of the world today. Balaam said, "One day these very people that I can't curse, when I try to curse them, all I do is bless them. But," Balaam said, "they will stand alone in the world today." And when you have people like John Kerry saying, "Well, if Israel doesn't do anything about the peace process, they will be isolated among the nations of the world." And yet Balaam in his prophecy said, "The people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations." In other words, they will not be respected among the nations. They will not be acknowledged among the nations. And as you well know, folks, Israel is the tail of the nations today. But that's all going to change in the not-too-distant future. Balaam's prophecy in Numbers chapter 23 and in verse number 9, folks, is eschatological. In other words, it's prophetic. And it has to do with Israel's status and what is going on in the world today. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 8, God says, I put the sons of Adam in the midst of all the nations that surround her today. And it's those very nations that are isolated, Israel. And folks, that's exactly what happened at the United Nations recently. Now, we know that Balaam was very well aware of the divine principle of Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3. I'll bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. But yet he took up a parable in Numbers 24:9. God would not allow him to curse Israel. Looking at Numbers chapter 24 and verse number 9, he says, he couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Now, you know, even today, those who look at Genesis 12:3 and say, well, that's not talking about Israel. It doesn't say Israel in there. But yet, when you read Numbers 22, Numbers 23, Numbers 24, the subject is Israel. And the subject here is Balak trying to get Balaam to curse Israel. And yet Balaam is saying, I can't curse what God has blessed. I can't curse whom God has blessed. When God blesses a people, they're blessed. And when God curses a people, they're cursed. He said, blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And we know at this point Balak is out of his mind, the king of Moab. Because on three occasions, he tried to get Balaam, somebody practicing sorcery, to curse the Jews. And instead of cursing on three occasions, he ends up blessing Israel. God will not allow Balaam. He will not allow him to curse Israel. And Balak was absolutely furious. Absolutely furious. Instead of the cursing, the blessings flow out of his mouth. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 10, it says this, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. In other words, it's like, I'm finished with you. I'm finished with you. I called thee to curse mine enemy, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Balaam, I've called you on three occasions to curse, and all you've been doing is blessing them. Balak's furious. He's upset. He's like, that's it. I washed my hands of this whole entire affair. But yet we see Balaam gives a prophecy, as I said already, that is eschatological, of Israel not only being isolated among the nations in the future, as is the case right now, but also in the future of Israel defeating her enemies. We find this in the parallel in Numbers 24, verses 17 through 20, where it says this, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab. That phrase, smite the corners of Moab, is very interesting. And destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. and Israel shall do valiantly. In other words, Israel shall do mightily. Verse 19. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. In other words, one day Jacob will have rule over the region and over her enemies. Verse 20. And when he looked up, and when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. In other words, Amalek was the first nation to attack Israel when they came out of Egypt. But his latter end, that's eschatological, folks. That's prophecy. That's future. But his latter end shall be that he perish forever. These prophecies concern Moab, which by today is central Jordan, the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan today. And then Edom, that would be southern Jordan today. And Amalek or Ammon, that would be northern Jordan today. That is how Jordan is divided biblically, you know, back in Bible times. Moab, central Jordan, Ammon, northern Jordan, Edom, southern Jordan. And yet, Balaam is prophesying that one day Israel will defeat all of her enemies by the help of Hashem. That's Hebrew for the name or the name of God. With the help of Hashem, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob will one day allow Israel to defeat her enemies. We also know in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, the Messiah would come from Yaakov, that's Hebrew for Jacob. Royalty would come from Judah. The scepter would come from Judah to smite the corners of Moab. You know, reading that passage again in verse 17, I shall see him. This is talking about Israel's Messiah. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh or near. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Jacob is Israel, Genesis 32:28. And a scepter shall arise out of Israel. We know particularly from Genesis 49:10 from Judah. Remember the prophecy of Genesis 49:10? The scepter shall not depart out of Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people. Now, you know, we all say Shiloh, but that's not the correct pronunciation, folks. If you were in Israel and they heard you say Shiloh, they'll say no, 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 no. Or in Hebrew, lo, 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 lo. Hello, lo, 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 lo. Lo, Shiloh, Ken, Shiloh. Ken is Hebrew for yes. Like you say the name Ken, K-E-N. Ken is Hebrew for yes. So they say, Lo Shiloh, Ken, Shiloh. So it's not Shiloh, but it is Shiloh. So in Numbers 24:17, Balaam is prophesying that the Messiah would come from Yaakov, Jacob, royalty from Yehuda, Judah, to smite the corners of Moab. Now, the word corners is the Hebrew word pinot, meaning that one day he would crush the head or the skull. That's what the word corners in Hebrew, pinot, means, to crush the head or to crush the skull. Now, that should sound familiar to all of you. Genesis 3:15, God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. It shall crush thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. Folks, that's prophecy. The first advent of the coming of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. The sacrificial atoning work of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, for the sins of all mankind. His death gave Satan a gashing head wound. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed, and it shall bruise thy head. The death of Jesus on the cross bruised the head of Satan. But at the same time, the heel of the Messiah. It shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. Remember the prophecy in Psalm 22 concerning Jesus' crucifixion? They pierced my hands and my what? Feet. So the death of Jesus gave Satan a gashing head wound, a bruising head wound. But at Jesus' second coming back to earth in the not-too-distant future, he will deliver the final death blow in which he will crush the head of Satan. So that's what the word corners there in Hebrew, phenot, means. The head or the skull being smashed. And you know, one day the nations surrounding Israel, when they all come up against Israel, I'm talking Ezekiel 38, 39, Psalm 83, Daniel 11, 40 through 45, these nations will be crushed when they come up. Now, folks, you all know what just recently happened. The United Nations, which is nothing more than a rat hole and a cesspool of immorality and unrighteousness, and all they've been created for is to use Israel as a punching bag and nothing else. The United Nations passed Resolution 2334 that condemned Israeli settlements, thanks in part to President Obama refusing to exercise the U.S.'s veto power at the Security Council. Recently, the news came out from the Times of Israel in which the chief rabbi of Israel, Yitzhak Yosef, Yitzhak is Hebrew for Isaac, Yosef is Joseph. Yitzhak Yosef said this, and I quote, "We cannot trust in no one but our Father who art in heaven. Even America forsook us at the UN. We must not forget that the hearts of the kings and captains are in the hands of the Lord. We can trust no one but the Lord." End quote. And, you know, so this chief rabbi, this Sephardic rabbi of Israel, ladies and gentlemen, he pretty much hit it right on the nose. He said, "We cannot trust anybody but God, our Father who is in heaven. America forsook us at the United Nations, and we know based on Daniel 2 that the hearts of leaders are in the hands of the Lord, and God turns them any way that he wants to in his sovereignty. But he said, we cannot trust in anybody but the Lord. And he is absolutely right on target, folks, with that statement. John Kerry criticized Israel's settlements in a speech, State Department, last Wednesday. An Israeli official, a high-ranking Israeli official, told the Times of Israel that the Israeli government expects more United States maneuvers at the United Nations that will be critical of the Jewish state. Now, because of what the United States did for the first time since the reestablishment, the rebirth of the State of Israel, May 14, 1948, for the very first time, Israel has recalled their ambassador from the United States. That has never in the history of the rebirth of the State of Israel, that, folks, has never ever happened before. Not only that, but Israel also called their ambassadors from 11 other nations who either voted in favor of or abstained, like the United States did. Israel recalled their ambassadors from 11 other nations as well. President Obama ordered that the United States veto power that allowed the UN to pass Resolution 2334 condemning Israel and its building construction. And now this set off a serious, deep crisis between the United States and Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has accused the United States of colluding with the Palestinians and the United Nations Security Council to pass this resolution. The bill was approved 14-0 with the United States abstaining. Now, folks, can God take a curse and turn it into a blessing? I believe so. Absolutely. God did this in the case with Balaam. Again, Numbers chapter 23 and in verse number 11. God said to Balaam, therefore now flee thou. I'm in the wrong place here. Numbers 23 and verse number. Numbers 23. Let me see sure I got the right passage here. Numbers 23 and in verse number 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. You can't curse, ladies and gentlemen, what God has blessed. And these nations are going to find this out the hard way in the future. Numbers 23:11. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them all. And Numbers chapter 24 and verse number 10, it says, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. You better wake up, and you better smarten up. God will not allow this nonsense to go on with the United Nations, with the United States, and with the 11 other nations that did to Israel at the UN. Can God take a curse and turn it into a blessing? I believe he already has. You say, well, how's that the case? President-elect, soon-to-be President Donald Trump, said on his Twitter page, and I quote, hang in there, Israel. January 20th will be here soon. End quote. Trump asked Obama to exercise the U.S. veto power at the UN to veto Bill 2334, but obviously it fell on deaf ears. Donald Trump said that as of January 20th, there will be major changes at the UN, with Republicans calling on Trump to defund the United Nations. And I believe God had Trump win the election because in his sovereignty, he saw all of this beforehand. Can be personified in what the Apostle Peter said, folks, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 15. 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 15, where it says this, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The UN can be personified in what Peter said in 2 Peter 2:15. Excuse me. They have forsaken the right way. They've all gone astray. They follow the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar. They all love the wages of unrighteousness. And we also see in Revelation 2:14, Jesus said he had a problem with those who practice the evil ways of Balaam. He said in Revelation 2:14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak, that's out of Numbers 22, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Folks, what am I telling you? The UN holds the doctrine of Balaam because of its bias to Israel, The UN has been nothing but a stubborn block to Israel, with more anti-Israel resolutions than any other country in the world. But Jesus will return one day, and he will crush the nations that come up against Israel like a cluster of grapes in a wine vat. That's right out of Revelation chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. The nations of the world are viewed by God as a cluster of grapes. The angel takes a sickle, cuts those cluster of grapes, throws them into a wine vat, and then stomps those grapes until the blood flows as high as the horse's bridles for the space of 1,600 furlongs. 1,600 furlongs. That is the exact length, ladies and gentlemen, from the Jezreel Valley, Armageddon in the north of Israel, to the entrance of Petra in southern Jordan. That's no accident. That's no mistake right there. In the kingdom, Israel will be the head of the nations with Jerusalem as earth's capital. God said, I put Israel in Jerusalem in the center of the world, in the center of the nation, and it will one day be earth's capital. Deuteronomy 32:8, Ezekiel chapter 5, and verse number 5. So those who seek to curse Israel will themselves be cursed and destroyed. The capital government of Jesus the Messiah will rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's right out of Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. And he will one day rule the nations with a rod of iron. In conclusion, Balak trying to curse Israel 3,500 years ago, and Barak cursing Israel at the UN today. Think that's a coincidence? Barak, Balak. You can interpret that as you want. But what Barak tried to do, Balak tried to do 3,500 years ago, and what Barak tried to do 3,500 years later, cursing Israel at the UN, I believe it's setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Jesus could come before 2016 is over. And if he tarries, then folks will wait for him in 2017. Because we know that the next prophetic event on God's calendar will indeed be the rapture of the church of the living God.